Okay, we're coming here to you from Craig, Alaska. This is the first time we've done this as far as doing a text service like this. I hope everything goes good with it and you can receive it. A few quick announcements. Number one, Lord willing, we'll be flying out on the 26th and arrive back on the 27th, Friday the 27th in the morning hours, early morning hours. We will send out another sermon for Wednesday night. We'll have it scheduled also. We'll send that out to each one of you. And I'd like to hear back from you. So if you could text me that you heard the sermon and it went well, we'd really appreciate that. It kind of lets me know how it's going. I don't have any reason to think it wouldn't, but just if you do that, I appreciate it. And we'll have them kind of scheduled, kind of like when we go to church. We'll have one for in the morning hours. And then also one for the night hours. It'll actually come to you overnight for the Sunday morning and early morning for the Sunday night. And of course, you can listen to them anytime you want to. You're at home, and we'll kind of have them that way. A couple of quick announcements. We've got singer schedules that will pick up when we get back to service, whatever normal service times we get back to. If we come back, you're on the roll to do that. You're on the schedule that day. That's when you'll pick up. So we won't move anything forward. We'll just pick up where we left off the last whatever date it is, and that's what you'll do. Same thing with Sunday school class. We'll just pick up where you left whatever's new, whatever date it is, and that's what we'll pick up. So we won't roll anything forward or anything like that. Whatever you are on, you've got it. Okay. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Kings today, 2 Kings chapter number 21. And we're going to go right back in on those paradises. We've been preaching about five or six messages on this now. And I think the Lord's helping us a little bit. It's encouraging us. It's teaching us about what is and what is not a paradise and how that we need to understand it a little better. We know that the word paradise was only used three times. In the New Testament, it's Luke 23, 2 Corinthians 12, and Revelations 2. But the word paradiso means a park or a garden or an Eden or a future place like that. And so there's a lot of gardens in the Bible and a lot of things we can learn from these so-called paradises. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse number 8, if you have your Bible open. 2 Kings chapter number 21. And verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son reigned in his stead." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts and minds up. And I pray, Lord, those back home listening, Lord, I pray for clarity. Lord, as we bring the message, they might be able to hear. I pray that it might be something that would move upon our hearts and, Lord, might be a help or a warning or an encouragement, whatever you want it to do, Lord. I pray you work on the hearts. And I know even though we're 3,000 miles away, we know you can be there and you can be here at the same time. So, Lord, I pray you help them just now and speak to their hearts and, Lord, use it in the way you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So in order to study this, I came across this, and as I was studying on the paradise, this was another new one that I wasn't planning on preaching on, and it just come up. Actually, I started talking up here to Elijah. I kind of read across it, and I got talking to him about it a little bit, and I just couldn't get off my mind. So it's just as fresh for me as it is for you. So if I make a mess of things, it ain't the Lord, it's just me. I'm going to have to turn to a couple passages today that we might understand it. Notice what it says. It says that he was buried in his own house in the Garden of Uzzah. And the word Uzzah means strength or power. And there's a lot of wonderings about what this place is, where this place is. There's a lot of speculations and things that we may or may not know. But there are some things that we can get in the Word of God that will give us some truth to this. So if you'd like to, turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse number 1. And we find out 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And the Bible says in verse 2, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. Verse 3, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahiah, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. That's a passage of scripture that most of us know of, but a couple of things about this thing about Uzzah. Now, the spelling here is a little different. The H is dropped off, but the name still means the same thing, Uzzah. And there's some things about Uzzah. Well, the truth about Uzzah was he was a lawbreaker. He was a lawbreaker. And I'll show you what I mean as we go through this. And this happened in about 1042 B.C., around that time period. And the Bible says that David desired to bring up the Ark of the Covenant, and he did it with a large crowd. And I want to say today that a large crowd does not mean that you're in the will of God. Amen. Just because a lot of people are excited about it, don't mean it's right. And I'll give you this today. So look at verse number 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Now, I thought to myself, who chose them? Amen. David should have known that sometimes God does not choose the tallest in order to do his work. In fact, we know the difference between Saul and David. Although Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else, it was David who was a man after God's own will. And so we got to be careful in the large crowd that we know what the chosen are. Just because they're the strongest or the biggest or, as someone say, the baddest in town, does not mean that they are the perfect will of God for who should be there. And obviously they weren't, because all this crowd gathered together, and it seems as if nobody guided David whatsoever and said, David, this is not the way we ought to do it. David had no counselor in this time that came to him and said, David, out of 30,000 chosen men, nobody said this is not what God's word is. So we find that although they're a big crowd, they and were chosen of everybody else, it seems as though God didn't choose them. Look at verse 2. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah. That's Kirjath-Jearim, if you, in other passages, if you look it up, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. Now notice this. Not only did they have a lot of people chosen, but there's a lot of people rose up. They got excited about that. And David rose up and went with all the people that were with him. And so a lot of people got excited. They rose up and they went together. Move on now, verse number 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Now, we find out that they had a building program. And somebody had to build the cart. Somebody decided, hey, let's put a cart together. So they had a building program. So they were chosen and risen and building. And 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7 says, and they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart. They laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart. And what they did, they followed. You say, preacher, why did you read 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11? Because that was the Philistines. That was not David and Israel. What they had done, they had followed the example of the heathen. They were doing the same thing that everybody else was doing. And I'm telling you, folks, we got to be careful as a church that we are not just doing what everybody else is doing, but we know that that's the will of God. And so many churches, they are trying to be a seeker type church. What everybody wants, what everybody'd like to see, we need to make the designs and the desires of the world part of our church. But just because there's a large crowd and they're chosen and they rise up and build does not mean they're in the will of God. So we find that out. Now, look at verse number 3, the latter part of verse number 3. And it says, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And I've preached on this, and everybody has, I guess, at some point. But I began to look these words up, and just to get a better understanding of them. And I looked at the word, the Abinadab drave the new cart. And the word drave there means, is the word nohag. And nohag means to drive forth, that is to lead. It means to carry away, to proceed, to guide oneself. It means to pant, induced by the efforts of working and making oneself decide. And no, so without a doubt, this is clearly a movement brought on by human logic and human craft and human effort. In all cases here, we find that they are driving it, and that driving it is a human effort. Look at verse number 4. And it came to, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which is, was at Gibeah, and accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Now, here's another word here, accompanying. And the word accompanying means here, means to be equal with or even to overshadow. And I thought that was interesting. Here they are bringing the Ark of the Covenant, and yet we find that they are accompanying it. They are being equal with it. They may be even overshadowing it. And I thought how different the commotion is. There's not only a large crowd, but there's a different kind of commotion. They're driving it. They're accompanying it. And then notice what happens in verse 5. They and all the house of Israel played before the Lord all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries, on timbrels and cornets and on cymbals. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 13:8, and David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. I mean, they were making a lot of noise about it. They were really carrying on the music, and they were doing it before the Lord. But here's the problem is, they were driving it and accompanying it and noising it and were doing it all out of the will of God. This was not God's way of doing things. And so it shows me that we can very easily get caught up with the crowd and get caught up with the commotion and be completely out of the will of God. The Bible says, here's what Moses said about the ark when you move it. Numbers chapter 10, verse 35 says, and it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses says, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. You notice what Moses said? He said, I'm not interested on whether or not the people are rising up. I want to know what God's doing. And I'd say this, church, today, that's one thing we need to be interested in anything else, is what is God doing in our situation? What is God? How is God being moved about what in our church and in our work and in our ministry? What is God doing? It's not about us. It's about Him. Amen? So number 3 today, we find not only a large crowd and a different commotion, but lastly, we're going to find a dead corpse. The Bible says in verse 6, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now, there's a reactionary sin. This is the reactionary sin. Notice there is a shaking of the ark of God, a shaking of the presence of God in Israel. And so it began to shake. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles how this happened. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 9, the Bible says the ox stumbled. And so there, because there was a stumbling, there was a shaking. And because of that, the Bible says Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 13, verse 9, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark. And so it's as if God needed some help. Amen? And God did not look well in that, but this is a reactionary sin. It's not that they went out that day and intended to do that. It's not that he had planned to do that. But because of the shaking, because of the stumbling, now he tried to steady the Ark of the Covenant. And because of that, he committed a sin against God, a trespass. He entered a place where God told him not to do. He was not to do that. And the Bible says in verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And the Bible says, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. The word Uzzah means strength. The word Perez means break. So it means break in strength. So here David had planned on getting the Ark of the Covenant, but now David's depressed, David's discouraged, and now he says, our strength is broken, because that's what happened. And listen, many believe that maybe what we're reading about over here 2 Kings chapter 21 that maybe that they had created a garden there in remembrance of Uzzah. And I don't know that that's the case. They could have done that. But Uzzah had no children according to the Bible, and he had nobody laying flowers on his grave. I don't know that that's the case, but I'm going to say this. Uzzah was a lawbreaker. And if that's the case and they built that garden there, they built a garden to the remembrance of a lawbreaker against God. And I will say this, and I believe today that still happens today. Amen. We need to be careful about where we're going to do and how we're going to do things. So that could be the case. But I want to take you over to one other place. And you find over there, look over in 2 Chronicles today. Take your Bibles. I hope you got your Bibles there with you. Amen. Maple Grove Baptist Church, normally you have your Bibles open. I hope you don't change that today. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. Now, this happened around 826 B.C., about 216 years later, and we come to this point. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 and verse number 3, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He was 16 years old, very young. Verse number 4 says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought the Lord, verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So we find Uzziah the king had although young, a very good beginning. Amen. Look at verse number, chapter 26, verse number 7. The Bible says, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubbaal and the Mahunims. And so first we see that God helped him. The providence of God was in his life. We see the blessings of the providence of God in his life. Look at verse 8. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, and for he strengthened himself exceedingly. The Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. And we see that the presence, not only the providence in his life, the gifts, the presence in his life, that God allowed people to present him with things. And then in verse number 13, it says, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500, and that made war with mighty power to help the king against the army, against the enemy. And so we see the great blessings of providence. We see the great blessings of presence. And then we see the great blessings of people, that God allowed good people to be in his life. And I'll tell you this, nobody gets through this life without having good people in your life. I'll tell you, it don't matter if you're a pastor, missionary. It don't matter if you're a pastor's wife. It don't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher. It don't matter what you do for the Lord. To get through this life, God has to give us providence and presence and good people in our life. Amen. So we had a good beginning, and we have great blessings. Now, we come to the great blemish in Uzziah's life. The Bible says in chapter 26, verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And this was a transgression, a transgress. This is a place where he was not to go. In verse number 19, it says, and why was wroth? The priest went in there and said, you're not supposed to be here. I'm just giving my kind of terms on this. You're not supposed to be here. You're not got the priesthood. And they began to tell him that. And the Bible says he began wroth. And while he was wroth, verse 19, with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. So he committed a trespass, a transgression. And while they were rebuking him and telling him to get out of there, he got angry. And that anger made that leprosy come upon him. Now look at verse number 20. The Bible said, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. The Bible said they thrust him out, and he even agreed with them. He tried to get out of there quickly, but the damage was already done. And what a blemish on his life, and now he has leprosy. And the Bible says in verse number 23, just for time's sake, the Bible says in verse 23, so Uzziah slept with his fathers, And they buried him and his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. Now, he did not make the sepulchres. He was buried, but he didn't make the sepulchres of the king. And the reason for that, it says, for they said he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. And they said, now we can't bury him in the sepulchres of the kings because he's a leper. So they buried him in the field there. And just a little side note, his son Jotham never entered into the house of God. And it's probably caused some bitterness of what he saw in his father, or the fact that his father never finished raising him there in church. I don't know. But whatever it was, we find the testimony of this great king is blemished because he enters into a place and trespassed and transgressed against God. And now he's buried in a place rather than be buried with the kings. Now, preacher, what are you saying that for? Well, we move ahead to 1698, 128 years later, and we come to 2 Kings chapter 21, where we started today. 2 Kings chapter number 21 and verse number 18. And the Bible says in verse number 18, and Manasseh slept with his fathers. Amen. Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of Uzzah. In the garden of Uzzah. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, anybody that's ever studied about the kings of Israel know what a treacherous king Manasseh was. What a wicked king, probably one of the most wicked kings that had ever reigned in Israel. A couple of things about him is found in chapter 21, verse 3. It says what kind of treachery he done, for he built up again the high places, which Hezekiah's father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worship all the host of heaven and serve them. So he was treacherous in the fact that he brought back idolatry. He tore down everything. He destroyed everything his father had tried to bring back, and he brought back idolatry. The Bible says in verse 4, and he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said in Jerusalem, will I put my name? He was an indifferent king. He didn't care what was holy. He went right into the house of God and built altars in the house of the Lord to false gods. I mean, he was indifferent. He didn't care about what God was doing in Israel. Verse number 6 says he made his sons to pass through the fire. That means he made them be sacrifices unto all those gods of Baal and different things like that. There's some stories of that, how they would heat up those big gods, how they were hollow, and these false statues of brazen statues they made of them, they'd heat them up, and they would take their children, their arms would heat up red, and they'd throw their children over into those arms of those false gods and sizzle there and cook them to those false gods. What a wicked king this was. He made his son to pass through the fire. The Bible says in verse 16 of the same chapter, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And so I don't know what all that means as far as innocent blood, but I do know that babes are innocent. And I believe that he was one that would have been okay with killing babies just like they're doing today. He had been all right to go out and have an abortion and do like that, to have a relationship out of marriage and then go and have an abortion if that made you feel good about it. I mean, he was a treacherous king, and I will say this today, anybody that believes that's all right is still treacherous and still ungodly and sinful before God. And so he's a very wicked king. Number one, we see his treachery. But God has an answer for his treachery. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 33, you don't have to turn there, but if you can, if you want to. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 33, hold your place there. The Bible says in chapter 33 that God had an answer for this wicked king. And he allowed judgment to fall upon the land. And the Bible says in verse number 11, it says, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the kings of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with feathers and carried him to Babylon. And so the Bible says they caught him among the thorns and they bound him with feathers. And I have no doubt that he had a few scars when he came out of there. I think he was carried out of there, as the Bible says, in fetters, that he was bound. I don't think they tiptoed him out of there around the briars. I'm sure they drug him out. And I'm sure he came out of there bloody and hurt. and headed off to captivity in Babylon. And so God had an answer for his treachery, and that God allowed him to be caught among the thorns and bound and carried him away in the captivity. But look at verse number 12. And when he was in affliction. Now, he's just one of those guys that wouldn't turn to God, nobody else, and wouldn't listen to nobody else. Nobody was going to turn him around. So the only way he could get the answer was to, the only way God get his attention is to let go through affliction, and that's what he went through. But the Bible says, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the same God that talked to Moses, amen. His God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. He was God. Now, isn't that something? The Bible said he was treacherous, and he was took among the thorns, and yet he, when he was in affliction, he began to look for the Lord. And our good God of heaven heard him and brought him back, and didn't just let him get free, but brought him back and let him remain on his throne till the day of his death. The Bible says then Manasseh knew the Lord, and he was God. Now, if you turn back to 2 Kings chapter 21, verse number 18, real quickly, notice what it says. And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of Uzzah. And Amon his son reigned in his stead, the garden of Uzzah. And now, he was not buried in the sepulcher of the kings. And it was many have tried to figure out why that is. But the best answer I've heard, and I'm just, if you don't like this one, that's fine. But it was by his own choice and by his own command that he not be buried in the sepulcher of the king. Because this is the man who got saved in his latter part of his life. And I don't think he ever felt worthy to be buried with David. I don't think he ever felt worthy because of what he had done about being adultery and indifferent and killing the innocent blood. And listen, that it be a lasting testimony to his repentance and abhorrence of himself, that of what he had done before, that it be a lasting testimony. That let me be buried in that Uzzah. Let me be buried in that place to let everybody know that I was never worthy to be a king. But it was the God of heaven that allowed me to be so. And I don't have any reason to argue with that. I just said I think I can say amen to that. Paul said the same thing. Job said I abhor myself. And so I believe when God turns things around in people's life, I believe we do see ourselves as unworthy and unfit. And God's good to us. And the grace of God is more than we deserve. Amen. But here's the problem. Manasseh was a late repenter. And I believe Uzzah, that garden of Uzzah, is a late repenter's paradise. In other words, it's a place where you go out there and you can have something carved. That he may no doubt had carved that in his latter part of his life, he believed in God and trusted in God. But the problem with that is 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 19. And Amon was 22 years old, this is his son, when he began to reign. He reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haraz of Jaboth. And he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, verse number 20, as his father Manasseh did. In other words, he lived out the life of majority of Manasseh's life, not the minority of Manasseh's life. In other words, not the end, but all those years he lived before he got right. And so he lived a depraved life, mimicking the depraved life of Manasseh. 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 23 says, and humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Amon their trespass more and more. In other words, he never got right. Amon never did want anything to do with God whatsoever. And so he humbled himself. And the Bible says in verse number 26, of course, there was a rising up, and he was slain by his own people, and then they slew the ones that slew him. And verse 26 says, and he was buried in his sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead. And what we find is there's a lost son in the same paradise, in the same garden with Manasseh. There's also right beside him, because he was late in repenting, was his son buried right beside him. Manasseh went to heaven, and his son went to hell, and they're buried in the same graveyard. And they might have a pretty gravestone. They may have done some really nice things on their sepulcher, but the problem is, to be buried in a garden of statues and flowers is little use when you don't have a testimony while you're living. And listen, folks, I want to tell you this. We need to live for the Lord. We need to get things right early and need to maintain things, because there's other people looking on, watching us. And listen, it's not going to matter what you put on my gravestone if my life is not reflected at all. My life, it's not going to matter. And so I'm not really interested in having that kind of paradise. You can put all the trees and flowers and dress it all up and call it all you want to. But if we haven't lived for the Lord, it's going to have an impact on our lives, and it's going to have an impact on those around us. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. And I thank you for your goodness to us every day. And God, I pray every day we'd rise up and understand that our lives, that no man lives to himself and no man died to himself. Lord, we may pass on a heritage of godliness, or Lord, we may pass on a heritage of wickedness. God, I pray you'd help us to understand this each day. Help our church back home. And Lord, I pray you'd bless them until we get back there again. Bless this church here in Alaska. God, I pray you continue to bless this one in Craig, Alaska. Use them. And I pray, Lord, I pray that you use Elijah in great ways. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.